תפילת החברים.
The prayer of the friends. Dear Creator, thank you for gathering us and giving us the opportunity to connect with all the friends. Please give us the strength to keep going on this path with our great friends and teachers.
והמורים הגדולים שלנו. תודה לך על
שנתן לנו את דרך האהב
להיות
to become one with you
ולהביא לך
and bring you contentment. Amen.
Amen. מאמר הכנה לסליחות מהו? נמצא ב...
What is preparation for the סליחות? It's in the writings of Rabash, volume 2, page 722.
ידוע לכל דבר שרוצים...
It is known that for anything we want, we must prepare the means to obtain it.
לפי זה...
Accordingly, what must one prepare in order to receive slichot, forgiveness? In corporeality, we see that one does not say to another, sorry, unless he has done something that harmed the other person in terms of money, honor, or bodily harm by causing him some injury. In that case, it can be said that one should ask for the other's forgiveness, to forgive the wrong that he has done to him. There are two things to discern here. One, if he did not do anything to him, but he is asking him for forgiveness, the other person will look at him as though he is insane. If we saw someone walking on the street, saying to everyone, sorry, sorry, we would certainly think that he is mad. Forgiveness pertains only to some felony. Two. If a person causes a great loss to another person and apologizes as though he did something small, he will certainly not receive what he has asked for, since he has done a great offense, but he apologizes as though he did something small. It is inconceivable that he will forgive him. Rather, one measures the severity of the damage that he has done to his friend, and to that extent chooses the means that will make his friend forgive him. We see in corporeal conducts how people behave concerning forgiveness among people, and from the conduct between man and man, we should apply the same order between man and God. That is, when one comes to ask the Creator for forgiveness, to forgive his sins, the two above discernments apply as well. One, that you do not apologize for anything, but only for hurting another. Or you will be perceived as insane, or that you are mocking the other by asking his forgiveness. Two, the request for forgiveness should match the measure of harm to the other. Therefore, when one comes to ask the Creator to forgive his sin against him, that he blemished his honor, one must think about his sin against the Creator. This is so because if a person does not feel any sin, yet asks for forgiveness, it is as though he is joking. He is yelling and crying and asking the Creator's forgiveness when he does not feel he has damaged the King's glory whatsoever. The reason why a person does not feel his sins is, as our sages said, if a person commits a transgression and repeats, it becomes to him as permitted. This is the reason why a person does not feel his sins when he comes to ask the Creator for forgiveness. It follows, according to the second discernment, meaning discerning the measure of the sin, that first one must acknowledge the measure of the flaw he has flawed in the glory of the King. Otherwise, you cannot speak of forgiveness. Thus, one should try as much as possible to be able to ask that he will forgive his sins according to his sins, meaning that they will be of equal weight. Our sages also said that to the wicked, the sins seem like a hair's breadth, and to the righteous, they seem like a high mountain. The question is, what does this seem mean? That is, they said, seems to them. But what is the truth? The thing is that when one does not notice before whom he sins and does not feel the importance and greatness of the Creator, he is faithless. At that time, when he begins to think, but I am a Jew as well, and since now is the month of Elul, and it is customary in Israel throughout the generations that since it is the month of mercy, and anyone who is regarded as Israel knows that now is the time to ask the Creator for forgiveness for the sins of the house of Israel. Also, we blow the shofar, the festive horn, so man's heart will begin to contemplate repentance for sins. At that time, one believes that he too must have sinned and must ask the Creator for forgiveness. However, what is the measure of the flaw that he has blemished in the King? A person cannot feel this feeling. Rather, to the extent of one's faith in the greatness of the Creator, he can assume the measure of the flaw that he has caused by his sins. Therefore, all those who come to ask for forgiveness without any preparation as to what they are forgiven for are as one who is asking forgiveness of someone, although he did terrible things to him, which require true remorse for his actions, yet he is asking forgiveness as though he did something insignificant. Naturally, the request for forgiveness is also without real value, as it should be for a real sin. It follows that before one comes to ask for forgiveness, he must first reflect on the core of the sin. Afterward, he can consider the sins that were caused by the core of the sin. One should know that the core of the sin with which one blemished, and from which all the sins extend, is that one is not trying to have permanent faith. If he has partial faith, he settles for it. It is as it is written in the introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot, that if he had permanent faith, that faith would not let him sin. That is, he asks forgiveness from the Creator since he sees that the real reason for all the sins is that he lacks permanent faith. Therefore, he asks the Creator to give him that strength, meaning to have the ability to always have faith steadfast in his heart. Naturally, he will not come and commit sins and blemish the glory of the Creator, because he has no feeling of the greatness of the Creator, and because he does not know how to appreciate the glory of heaven and how not to harm it. Therefore, he asks forgiveness from the Creator to help him and give him the strength to take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven above reason, meaning to have the power to overcome and strengthen in faith in the Creator, and to know how to behave between man and God with some reverence. This means that when one reflects, he will see that he needs only one thing: to reflect on the difference between Jew and Gentile, for which we bless each day. Blessed are you, O Lord, for not making me a Gentile. But one does not pay much attention to what he says, for not making me a Gentile. That is, he does not consider himself in what way he is Israel and not a Gentile. We must know that the main distinction is in the faith. Israel believes in the Creator, and the Gentile has no faith in the Creator. Once he knows that difference, he must check his measure of faith in the Creator. Meaning, as it is written in the introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot, how much he is willing to make concessions for his faith in the Creator. Then he will be able to see the truth. Meaning, if he is willing to do things only for the sake of the Creator and not for his own sake.
Or
is he willing to work for the Creator only to a small extent? Meaning that, God forbid, he should not blemish self-love, or else he will not be able to do anything.
It
therefore follows that then is the time when he can see the truth, his true measure of faith in the Creator. From this he can see that all the sins stem only from this reason. By receiving preparation and qualification, when he comes to ask the Creator to forgive his sins, he can assume the true measure of the flaw, meaning in what way he has blemished the glory of the King, and he will know what to ask of the Creator, meaning what sins he has sinned and which he must correct so as not to sin again. Now we can understand what is written in the portion Nitzavim. This commandment, which I command you today, is not beyond you, nor is it far. It is not in heaven and not beyond the sea, for the matter is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, to do it. The words for this commandment, to which commandment is he referring? We should also understand the meaning of it is not beyond you. The thing is that the core of the mitzvah, the commandment, is the mitzvah of faith, meaning to believe in the Creator. Afterwards, we can keep his mitzvot, commandments, plural of mitzvah. All the slanderers and all the obstructions come to the mitzvah of faith. The body begins to ask many questions, both questions that the body itself is asking and questions about faith that the body hears other people. They come to a person when he wants to ask to take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven, as an ox to the burden and as a donkey to the load, meaning everything above reason. Suddenly, the body becomes smart and begins to investigate and ask who and what. Under no circumstances does it let us take upon ourselves the mitzvah of faith. The body's questions are so strong that one cannot answer its questions. Then a person becomes bewildered and does not have the strength to overcome its just arguments according to the reason by which it is asking. The body's questions are as a true wonder. The writing tells us about this. For this commandment, meaning the commandment of faith, is not beyond you. That is, you do not need to answer the body's questions, which it asks within reason, since the mitzvah of faith is built specifically above the intellect. That is, the external mind, which was given to man, cannot attain it. This is why you do not need to answer its bewildering questions. Instead, one must believe that all the questions that the body asks do not come in order for you to answer them. It is To the contrary, these questions come to a person so as to give him a place to believe above reason. Otherwise, if the body understood with its intellect that a person wants to work for the Creator, it would be within reason. This would be called knowing and not believing. For precisely where one's mind does not grasp, there, if he does something, it is purely on the basis of faith. It therefore follows that one does not need to be very talented in order to be able to answer the body's questions, since all the answers are above reason, called faith. This is regarded as it is not in heaven and not beyond the sea, requiring great tactics. Rather, it is utterly simple, and it is called, it is in your mouth and in your heart to do it. Meaning, if there is only a desire in the heart, then we can overcome. But the matter of above reason requires clarification, since there are many discernments to make there. Bala Sulam said that above reason means that one should depict for oneself how he would keep Torah and mitzvot, commandments, if his reason determined that it is worthwhile to engage in Torah and mitzvot. That is, if he felt the taste that is in each and every mitzvah. One must believe that as there are corporeal measures, such as pleasures of eating, drinking, and respect, where each thing tastes differently, we must also believe that there is a special taste in each mitzvah. Accordingly, if he tasted the change of flavors during his engagement in Torah and mitzvot, what excitement and vitality he would feel during his work. Reason would compel him to create for himself an image in the work that is suitable for a servant of the Creator. He would look at all the things that want to disrupt him from his work as inconsequential, unworthy of his attention. According to the above-mentioned depiction, which he depicts to himself within reason, he would make the same depiction above reason. That is, although he does not feel that there will be something that reason supports, he still works precisely as if he has strong reason and feeling. When he does this, it is regarded as working above reason. However, as long as he feels that if he had reason, he would be serving the Creator more willingly and more consistently, then he is still working within reason, since there is still a difference between reason and above reason. Precisely when it makes no difference to him, it is regarded as above reason. Good morning, friends. He writes In the first line, it is known that for everything we want, we have to prepare the means. And then when he speaks of between man and man, he writes, but a person measures the measure of offense he caused to his friend, to that extent he performs the means. What are these means?
What there is between him and his friend that he wants to shift above reason.
Have a discernment within reason.
Yes.
So what then is above reason?
Try doing that and see the difference.
It can't
be explained.
You can't explain what is above reason?
No. Only from your effort, your personal effort. Proven.
Another question. It is written,
with the mitzvah,
commandment of faith, here all the slanderers come and all the obstructions, and the body begins to ask many questions, whether the body itself asks or what the body hears, questions about faith from other people. Are these two different kinds of work with the slandering?
No, ultimately a person is impressed by both this and that.
So the work is the same. What should he come to?
To accept it above reason.
Accept that he is now hearing slander about faith?
Whatever he hears.
And to become stronger in faith?
Yes.
And how does he become stronger in faith?
When he accepts it above reason and does everything to be above that.
So it should be like a habit.
No. Habit can't happen here. It requires work each time.
Good morning, Rav. I wanted to ask you about forgiveness. It is written in the article that we shouldn't say sorry just for nothing. But what we understand is that when something bad happens between two people, then we ask for each other's forgiveness. But with the example here, I don't feel so bad that something bad happened that I should ask for forgiveness from another.
This is a sign that you need to be more sensitive. More sensitive. How do you take the friend into account and how the friend takes you into account in your view? And then you'll see there's what to add here. What kind of correction needs to be added? That's it. We'll talk about it more.
What is the role of the ten in this in the depiction of within reason? How I would feel within reason. The role of the ten is that if I do not include the ten in my effort, then I don't finish the work. I don't have a template where I can feel where I am, how I should receive what the Creator is sending me. Question. What am I searching to receive from the ten that will be considered within reason so I understand how I'm supposed to work within reason?
You have to try to receive, to accept every ten as your own. For now, there's no specific ten in front of you. It's all your will to receive, and you In that, in it, you want, you wish to understand where you
are.
From Mach 4, they're asking, what does it mean to keep or observe a mitzvah commandment?
It means to carry out the command that the Creator wants us, that we'll behave or think or feel, right? To do some action that He wants us to do in order to get closer to Him through equivalence of form.
What does it mean to keep Torah and Mitzvot?
It means that I man, am willing to get closer to all of the world according to what one understands from the Torah.
What is the sin and what is the sin between us in the ten?
The sin is that a person feels himself is in and of himself. He doesn't understand it. He just doesn't want to understand it. But rather, what he feels that belongs to him and is good, and then it's good. And what touches him and feels not good, then he moves away from it as much as possible. And that's basically the natural response of the person towards any force that influences him.
From Belarus, what does it mean to forgive each other and not just in words?
To forgive each other and not just in words is that we need to see all the friends as messengers of the Creator from above, that each of them wants to tell me something by which I can get better. Then, in such a way, we can very quickly move forward towards the connection between us and with the Creator.
What efforts should I do in the relationship so that the friend will forgive me for the harm that was done?
We certainly cause harm to each other. No one does harm to himself, let's say. Rather, each one is doing harm to others.
From Mach 4, what is the difference between partial faith and complete faith?
Partial faith is in some specific, well-defined conditions, and complete faith is that in all my kli, I already feel, according to how the Creator clothed in it, that I want to carry out adhesion with the Creator to the fullest.
From Latin 13, how can we succeed in negotiating with the body in order to rise above reason?
We have to try to be in contact with the friends. So that the gaps between us will show us what we need to do in order to connect with them in a single heart.
Yes. He says here that the sin is mainly that a person is not trying to have permanent faith.
Right.
And if he has partial faith, he settles for it. So what are we not doing enough to have permanent faith? Are we not working enough with the 10? What are we not doing enough?
We're not demanding. Faith needs to be demanded. The Creator will shine on us, and by that light that reforms, we will receive the power of faith.
But to demand, I have to say, I did the maximum, now give it to me. But what can a person demand if he didn't?
Yeah, he has to ask with everyone by all kinds of actions. And through this collaboration, reach a state where he forces the Creator to shine on us with the power of faith. And then they transcend the will to receive to some extent. This means they've received the light of Binah. And that is now what gives them freedom from the will to receive. To that extent, they can then connect between them and keep going in mutual actions.
So it's something we have to renew all the time, this permanent faith. Meaning to constantly demand more connection between us. There's nothing else to demand.
Yes.
So what is the asking for forgiveness for not asking enough?
Yes, the forgiveness is for not caring, not asking, not working between us to achieve that, to make the preparation, to build the right place for it. Yeah, that's how it is.
And this is the introspection we have to make?
Yes, of course. That I always need to be in the request for faith. That only by the power of faith I can be above my ego.
It sometimes feels like if I cling to faith and to the Zanos besides him, it's like I'm avoiding responsibility, and because there are things I have to tend to, and I'm saying, no, there's Zanos besides him, I don't want to criticize it, and then things might fall apart and I'm not taking care of them.
That could be, but on the condition that you don't feel yourself responsible to pass that on to the group. Pass it on to the group. That's what you have to do. You're asking to be given from above some force of repentance. Let's say force of faith, and that this force is what you have to pass on to the 10, and ultimately to the whole world, but at least to the 10 for now. Otherwise, really, if not the 10, then what are you asking for? For yourself, that's a bigger ego than before.
When we work on the connection, we begin to feel the greatness of the Creator within reason.
Yes.
How do we raise it above reason if we feel the greatness of the Creator within reason?
When you want to raise the greatness of the Creator in all the incidents you're going through, whatever it is, above everything.
What is the act that...
The action is that you always want to adhere to him. To get strength from that. And pass on that strength to the whole 10. It's
clear when we are in ascent and feel the greatness of the Creator. But at that moment, I have to work on all the moments of descent and separation to look back. Rav, no, you don't need to go in detail them. You simply need to work in such a way that everything you receive from the connection, you raise it to the Creator. You want to be included in it, incorporated in it. Yes.
He says the main sin is not to have faith in the greatness of the Creator, in faith above reason.
But this is the main sin?
He says this is the main sin.
Yeah, the sin is primarily not believing, not having faith.
And this, I understand, is about sins between man and the place.
Yes.
So I wanted to understand, what are sins between man and his friends, where he says that sometimes the greatness of the friends needs to be within reason. So it's not seeing the friends as great within reason is my sin?
Yes, of course. You don't see them as great.
Can you say this is the main scene between man and his friend?
Yes.
Dudi.
What does it mean to pass the force to the ten?
To awaken them. Awaken them. Very simple.
Awaken them how?
By having the possibility now to cause correction for each other and all of us together to rise to the level of faith. Mutual bestowal.
I ask for strength from the Creator to pass on to the ten. That's what I ask for?
Yes. Okay, basically we are we went through the article. What's next?
Ben Adam lechavero. Pagati b'chaver,
aval between man and his friend, if I heard the friend but he didn't feel or didn't notice, should I still ask for forgiveness?
You don't need to ask forgiveness, you need to act in such a way that this hurting will become something positive. That what you thought about him, you will think differently.
Я все время стараюсь быть слитым, вы сказали, с Творцом, с товарищами.
I always try to be bonded with the friends, the Creator, every moment. What does it mean that I see forward and ask for forgiveness from the Creator? What am I asking forgiveness for? And is He did it?
The fact that we are revealing or discovering the sin, of course it comes from the Creator, but the fact that He drops on us all those sins, this is already our problem. It is that we deserve to feel how far we are, how disconnected we are from the Creator, which is called the sin. And this is a result of the disconnection and the distance between us. This is why we have to correct ourselves as quickly as possible so we don't return into that sin.
What is the scrutiny when I ask for forgiveness? Can I just ask for connection with the friends all the time, and here I have to ask for forgiveness, not just connection with him. So it's like finding out some problem within me.
Yes, of course, this is the problem. The problem is that I have to see exactly where is my sin, what exactly am I missing, what exactly do I have to ask for, and then ask. I don't just cry, give it to me.
Балтия 4.
Спасибо, Раф. А вот что само исправляет просьба прощения у десятки? Ведь насколько
человек изменить это прощение? The request or the forgiveness from the ten. How much can a person influence this forgiveness? Everything comes from the Creator. So, what do you ask for? Forgiveness in the ten. It's not clear why.
Of course, you're right. Everything is determined in advance by the Creator. Everything is prepared in advance for us, including our sins.
Что никто из нас себя не проектировал до нашего рождения, кроме Творца.
We ourselves understand that we didn't. None of us created ourselves before we came, besides the Creator.
Мы никого не можем обвинять в этом, кроме Творца.
So you cannot blame anyone besides the Creator.
В которых
He planned and made in us all of these qualities in which we are so low.
Включая всех животных.
So ignoble, lower than everyone, including all the animals.
Друг другу.
Because we want to do harm to one another. Which animals don't really want to. Animals want to satisfy their animate egoism, their small little animate egoism.
Нашими просьбами, нашими молитвами, нашими требованиями мы можем.
Yet we have to understand that with our litanies, with our requests and prayers, we can elevate ourselves above everyone in our correction.
Достичь наивысшей точки.
And attain the most sublime, highest point.
Il creatore ci ha dato la ragione e poi ci chiede di andare sopra la ragione, forse perché ci chiede di abbandonare tutto.
Why did the Creator give us the reason and then he asks us to go above reason? Is it because he wants us to leave everything, including our reason, and only adhere to him?
Yes, yes. Because in the end, we don't have that either. Besides adhesion with the Creator, where through this connection we receive all the spiritual qualities, we cannot have anything.
Десятка как общность может о чем-то сожалеть, просить прощения.
The ten, as a whole, as a body, can it ask for something? To ask forgiveness?
The ten can ask forgiveness together and advance this way and be in a process of advancing toward the Creator. But I don't think this is what we need. If we are advancing in a ten, we are constantly in new requests, in new qualities. Okay?
Azerbaijan.
Раф, а вот что в сердце раскрывается как основное отличие в том состоянии, когда я в вере, и в том состоянии,
what,
когда я
appears in the heart as the main difference between the state of faith and the state of reason? Where is the transition between them happening?
What is revealed is new vessels in our desire, in our hearts, We need to try to connect them to see in them a common result. And this way take another step and another step forward.
We read that the main sin is that a person doesn't try to have constant faith. The question is, what's the thing that prevents the person the most from achieving constant faith?
It is to connect with all the friends, hold them all together. Each one should hold the others very tightly. And come into each other and make room for everyone, for each and everyone, so that there is a connection, a mutual connection that is as deep as possible.
What's closer to correction? To ask for forgiveness when I know the Creator will not forgive me, or knowing that the Creator will forgive me?
It's a good question, both psychologically and Kabbalistically. I need to be certain that the Creator will forgive and bring me to corrections, that he loves me and treats me like a mother who loves her children. And I should have no doubt about that. It seems to us that if we're not certain of it, then we have more work, more doubts, more actions. No, incorrect. Incorrect. We need to try to be as adhered, connected, embraced between ourselves and with the Creator. And this is what will pull us out of every pit.
Thank you, Rav. Good morning. When a person, the sin when a person is as a separate individual, separate entity from others, is that sin the pleasure that a person receives in the vessels to receive in order to receive? That's the pleasure he asks the Creator to restrict?
Yes, it's called the pleasure of separation, the pleasure of disconnection, of remoteness, of the shattering.
Does he begin to restrict the spiritual work from this restriction?
From this onward, we begin to correct. Sit down quickly.
He
will read selected excerpts on the topic of the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. We are in item 11.
Okay, we will read and try to understand the excerpts. They're very important. Let's continue.
So, item 11, this is from Rabash. A person causing through his sin the descent of Kedusha into the Klipa. It follows that this is regarded as causing at the root of his soul separation between the Creator and the Shekhinah. This means that Malchut is not in equivalence of form with Zeranpin. Zeranpin is called the Giver, the Creator. And Malchut is the receiver, the opposite of the giver. That is, all the sins that come only from a person wanting to satisfy his will to receive for himself. It follows that he causes separation above, at the root of his soul, which is in Malchut.
I I see that there are no questions. You?
How is it that by a person wanting for, to receive himself, he's harming his root of his soul?
Because he is in the root, whether he wants to or not. He's there. He's there and he's not coming out of there. And the minute he wants not to exert, to connect, to make an effort to connect the Creator and the Shekhinah, meaning Zaran Pin Malchut, by this, that's it.
Gorem Pirut?
He causes separation.
Earlier we talked about a person, every force he gives, he has to pass to the ten.
Yes.
If he doesn't do that, then he himself remains separated. How is he blemishing the root here?
That's the blemish in the root. That he disconnects from the giver and is not incorporated in the receiver. So he doesn't belong neither to Zeranpin nor to Malchut.
So he himself is disconnected. That's his punishment too.
Yes, yes.
But how does that harm the root as well?
Because it disconnects, so he can't convey, pass on to the root what he... Next.
Excerpt number 12. Man's sin is that he did not ask the Creator for help. Had he asked for help, he would certainly get help from the Creator. But if a person says that he asked for help and the Creator did not help him, to this comes the answer that a person should believe that the Creator hears the prayers. As it is written, for you hear the prayer of every mouth. If he truly believed, his prayer would be complete. And the Creator hears a complete prayer when a person yearns with all his heart that the Creator will help him.
That's what we're lacking. Again.
Again, excerpt number 12. Man's sin is that he did not ask the Creator for help. For had he asked for help, he would certainly get help from the Creator. But if a person says that he asked for help and the Creator did not help him, to this comes the answer that a person should believe that the Creator hears the prayers, as it is written, for you hear the prayer of every mouth. And if he truly believed, his prayer would be complete. And the Creator hears a complete prayer when a person yearns with all his heart that the Creator will help him.
Shilot.
He writes that a person yearns with all his heart for the Creator to help him. What should he help him with?
To help him, to bring him, raise him up from the degree he's in.
But on what? It turns out that we have to ask for the sin, or the sin is just the reason for the request, for the help to rise up.
Yes, the sin is a reason for the request.
So there's direct no connection between the sin and what he's asking for?
Of course there is. He has to feel the sin to see where he's at. He needs to see, to try and see the corrected state to which he's yearning.
So the request is for the sin, or to correct it, or
the request is to correct the sin, or to be in the correct form. But without the sin, you can't do it. He will never know what is the truth, what he has to come to, what is he required to do.
Yeraf, what is the true faith?
My emunat emet.
Emuna amitit, emunat emet.
True faith is when a person identifies the true form of the Creator as good, who does good, and he bestows to him in every way possible according to the degree of the person, and for the time being, this is called the true form of the connection between the Creator and the person.
Ken.
רב, הוא צריך להאמין שהשם יכול לעזור, וגם שיש לבורא מה שהוא רוצה. עכשיו, אם אדם מתעמק...
He needs to believe the Creator can help him, and that he has everything he needs. And if he delves into it, he can reach the demand that will force the Creator to give him what he needs.
Now, the thing is, how is a person certain that he's asking for the right thing?
זאת אומרת שאתה, שבן אדם מבקש משהו מהבורא, הוא לא יודע אם זה 100% נכון.
When you ask a person, he doesn't know 100% that he's going to promise the Creator to give him that. The request is kind of like not all the way, because it's...
He should scrutinize it with the help of his prayer, a prayer before a prayer. What does he have to do in order to give contentment to the Creator, to come closer to the Creator, to do something mutual with him?
So
when you ask for a certain inner request, it's necessary, it's okay? Is
it? Yes. We don't quite understand that we were given the opportunity to speak to the Creator. Use it more often. Talk to him, try to hear where his response is in our hearts. And more like that. Now, the more we connect between us, we'll hear him more. We'll hear more what the Creator wants to say.
Thank you, Rav.
How do we come to a complete prayer?
With a whole heart.
What, where the prayer emerges from the whole heart?
Yes.
And how do we come to that state?
You open the heart. You want the friends to fill my heart with everything, that nothing is left except for the connection with them.
Do the friends need to enter my heart, or do I need to go out of my egoistic heart?
I can't come out of my heart. I ask the Creator to fill my heart, then I'll feel him in all of my heart.
How do we make room in our heart for the Creator to be able to be there?
When
I don't think of anything except for the connection between us, between the friends, and from between us to the Creator.
Meaning, when a person turns to the Creator, he needs to somewhat arrange in every appeal the 10 within his heart.
Yes.
How does he like free himself from there? It feels like we're really bothering the Creator somehow. So how do we free ourselves from there?
But the request, I don't want my heart to have anything else except for the connection with the Creator.
So
only the Creator can clear a person from his own heart? Actually?
Yes.
השאלה שלי לגבי הקטע הקודם שורשו של האדם, וזה פשוט יצר לי בלבול. מה השורש שלנו? מלכות דאינסוף?
I'm getting a little confusion. What's our root in מלכות דאינסוף or זרנפין? What is the root? Because it's written...
תמיד ידעתי שאנחנו...
Because it seems like it's opposite. I always knew that we're part of the Creator, that He sustains us in His heart.
אנחנו חלק ממלכות.
We are a part of Malchut, Malchut of Ein Sof.
התיקונים שבינינו, אנחנו בונים אותה כך שהיא יכולה להתקשר ל...
Through the corrections between us, we build it in such a way that it's able to correct, to connect to upper degrees, correct itself and bring us the revelation of the...
קטע מספר 13
של הרבש. Number 13 from Rabash.
אלמלא לא חטאו ישראל, לא
Israel not sinned, there would be only the book of Torah in them.
שפירושו,
this means that by feeling that they were sinners,
ויזעקו להשם,
they cried out to the Lord to save them, and any help is through the light of Torah. It follows that every sin that they felt and for which they asked for help always adds the light of Torah from above. This means that the illumination increased for them by feeling that they had sins within them. Instead, one who does not feel a sin does not need the help of the Creator, and naturally does not have proliferation in the Torah, as he does not need the Torah to help him.
Barorgen.
What to do in a situation when everything becomes less interesting to one. What to do in this situation and how to come out of it. Even though the efforts are the same, but it seems kind of less important.
When a person loses his willpower and is not drawn to the purpose of creation, the purpose of life, to understand what is the essence and meaning of life, that's a problem. That is a problem. They say that, the sages say that he has to go to speak to his friends, maybe visit a cemetery, look at all those people who used to be alive and are now dead. Meaning he has to awaken himself somehow.
Yeah, it's more or less like as I understood the question, it's like the effort is made. And all this effort are done, but it seems like there is no correspond from the friends, and it kind of it's a little bit how to say.
The fact that there's no reaction or response, it's his fault. He has to come up with all kinds of tactics and ploys in order to connect, to be connected with the group, since without a tent there's nothing to talk about. He cannot cleave to the Creator without it. He cannot speak to Him, cannot reveal Him. He has to come closer to the friends and through them try to build what we call the place for the revelation of the Creator.
Свет, возвращающий к источнику, он
reforming light,
то, что показывает человеку грех,
performs an action by showing him the sin and also heals? Can we detail more about the action of the light in these two cases and understand it more in depth?
Don't even know how to say it.
Там, где Боре Маке умирапе.
The place where the Creator strikes is the place that the Creator heals. So we only need to learn how to accept everything purposefully in the direction of correction. And then everything will be fine. Then we'll understand all the actions of the Creator.
Иногда мне кажется, что корень души, мой корень души, очень такой низкий.
Rav, sometimes it seems to me like the root of my soul is kind of low, small. How can I rise higher up?
Through the adhesion with the friends. Together with them, you're going to rise. And it's not because you're so little, but because this work belongs to all of us.
What does it mean to have the book of Torah in them?
The book of Torah is like all 10 sefirot that are impressed in the desire of a person, and they shape this desire into a certain style of connection according to these qualities until it becomes, as it's written, the book of Torah shall be written on your heart. And if all of your qualities are arranged according to the mutual connection of a ten sefirot, this means that you have placed the Torah inside your heart, and all your desires then begin to be arranged according to the laws of the Ten Sefirot. And then you understand what's going on outside of yourself. And in this way you begin to feel how you can practically work with all the qualities that are in you.
So, Fami Rav, would that have been different than to say the light of Torah?
Of course, it's all done by the light of Torah, but
okay.
A person becomes here the active part in drawing that light.
Yes. Thank you, Rav.
The active part is Bnei Baruch, because we have the opportunity
to do this,
and I don't understand what humanity has. What's going on there that there's such a mess?
But if there's no desire, what can you do?
Why are they adding this whole mess? They don't have the tools to correct, the vessels to correct, and the biggest mess is adding to them.
You're correct.
Who's that all for?
In order for the sufficient deficiency to grow and they'll have, be able to have discernments without more subtle corrections.
Today will be the Day of Atonement, and there'll be something outside here, at least in the area of the land of Israel. There, at least they'll receive a certain like shock from what's happening in the nation, maybe. Maybe they'll turn inwards. Do we have any touch to that? Is, can we connect to that state? Do we have the ability to do something?
We always have the ability to do. That's specifically not only during Yom Kippur, but every day of the year.
Well, it seems like we're the only ones that can do something. How do we not do something?
Through the connection between us, we approach the Creator. Through the connection between us, we draw upon us the reforming light, the upper light. Through the connection between us, we are incorporating in all of humanity and we raise them to the Creator. This is our work.
Thank you.
This is a great transgression. And in the end, anything.
I understood, I heard today that the main sin is that I don't have the greatness of the friend, and when I relate to him, his greatness that was like that before him, that I'm making harm, damage, both to the friend and to me.
Why?
Because I don't see the greatness of the friend and I don't relate to him as I should have.
As much as you can, you relate to him.
I understood that I'm supposed to be working mutually with the Creator about this will to see that's growing in me, that the, that's the sin he gave me, just like a mother wants her child to always grow. My question is, I understood that I'm doing this through prayer or before the Day of Atonement and a new year. What is the precise prayer that I do which causes my reality, in my reality, for the friend to grow in my eyes?
That you will connect to all of the society, and according to how much it appreciates a certain friend, you will also appreciate him, value him.
If I appreciate the friend according to my feeling, very high in the society that I'm in, how do I withdraw from them more forces to rise even higher up? Like,
you don't have anywhere from which to take these kind of forces.
How do I suckle forces from the society for something that they're not aware of, not working with, such that I will receive the force? What is this force that I receive from the society so that I will use it to grow the friend?
You can't. This is concealed from you.
That's what I'm asking about. What am I asking for the friend to grow with?
You ask the Creator for a certain friend to perhaps grow in your eyes. Yes, you can ask for it.
Now, this request is I'm asking is, I do a miracle. I don't want to understand it. Make a miracle and for me to suddenly Creator. Or am I asking for something specific? It's like I'm guiding the Creator. Here, grow him. There, grow him.
No. You want the friend to be great in your eyes. And that's what you're asking the Creator. Simply.
Ken. Thank you. Earlier you said we don't understand that we have the possibility to talk to the Creator. What is this discussion, this conversation with the Creator?
You can turn to him, you can connect to him, you can ask certain actions of the Creator on me, and for me to see those actions and the result of those actions.
How do you begin this conversation with the Creator?
You simply begin from a deficiency.
Is this like a ping pong of requests, or is it, what is this request? I mean, it's always asking for something or also other things?
Typically, it's asking for something. Typically, it's asking for something.
No, Sham.
Rav, I understand that.
Rav, I understood that actually the correction is a correction of the intention. So when we turn to the Creator and ask for the friend to be great in our eyes, what is the correct intention in that appeal? What are we actually asking for? Why are we asking it?
We're asking from him because I can't have any deficiency that will be corrected if not through or with the help of the Creator.
I didn't really understand, I'm sorry.
All the deficiencies that I can imagine can be corrected with the help of the Creator. That's why I turned to him.
Thank you, Rav. Hello, everyone. When the Creator beats, it's because we're sinning, or is it simply a correction?
Everything is corrections. Everything is corrections. We have no fault in that or anything. Rather, the Creator is doing these corrections on us so we would reach the corrected state. Other than that, nothing happens in nature. Nothing.
Content that will be sent to everyone?
That's a good idea.
Okay, so we'll start. So this morning, we're going to be sending everyone in the email the study material on all our channels, the study material that we will be studying here tomorrow throughout the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement lessons. Of course, they're not broadcasted. That's why we're sending in advance to friends around the world and also in Israel, our study program that will be here. Also, recommendations of recorded lessons, whoever is interested. Also, articles on the topic of the Day of Atonement that you can read. So that will be sent today with translation and everything. In the afternoon today, we will also have an afternoon lesson surrounding the topic of the Day of Atonement also.
Here.
Not here physically. You're going to be up in your room, and the lesson is virtual from 12 to 1. Israel time, noon. And then from 2 to 3:30, we're going to have what we call the pre-fast meal. We're going to have the mafseket meal, the last meal before the fast. And then that's it. From that moment, the official broadcast will end for everyone. And then here in our home, whoever is here, we will have a gathering for a certain meal from 5 to 5:30, just before the fast. And of course, there will be here prayers, etc. Tomorrow we have a schedule that is from 5:30 in the morning till 8. It'll be a different time for the morning lesson. And then we have prayer from 8 to 9. There will be a break until 4 p.m. And then 4 p.m. we will have again a lesson from 4 to 6 in the afternoon. And then from 6 to 7 there will be a prayer. And afterwards there'll be a buffet. We're going to break the fast and we're going to conclude the Day of Atonement. All our things are going to go on tomorrow in the hall below. That's where the lessons will be from tomorrow. On Tuesday, it's already the 26th. I'm just making sure. We're studying downstairs. In the morning, we're going to study up here.
מיום שלישי בבוקר
Tuesday morning we're going to be studying Tuesday morning we're going to still be here in this hall. Women that are also coming from all over the world will also be able to join us. They will also study here. Yes, here on Tuesday morning. This is after the Day of Atonement. We can still sit here. On Wednesday, we're already going to move downwards to the bottom floor because there'll be so many friends that this hall will not be able to contain everyone. So we're going to move to study downstairs in the big hall. And of course, from that day, also the afternoon lessons will be longer. There'll be an hour and a half. And that's it. And we're advancing towards the convention. Our convention takes place next weekend.
It
works out to be the 30th of September and the 1st of October. And that's the plan, the general plan of what awaits us in this upcoming week. What else can we say?
Any questions?
I just want to make a certain clarification. Today, the Day of Atonement, there are no broadcasts during this time, and the materials will be sent out, and the reading materials, articles, source materials, all kinds of recommended recorded lessons that people can watch, our friends can watch. And what we're talking about, the schedule we're talking about is those who are going to be here, the schedule that will be here in the building for those who are here physically. And whoever is interested to come into the building on the Day of Atonement, there's also the possibility to remain here during that time.
No questions from the audience?
I can
also share as far as friends that are coming to Israel. So, on the 26th, there will be already here 73 friends. On the 27th, there will be 126. On the 28th, already 270 friends. From the 29th, we already have 410, 430, etc. And it's also continuing like that throughout the whole week of Sukkot. Almost 300 friends every day. So it's truly going to be here a carnival of connection this coming week.